We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumski, and guess what? I am out of the heat of St. Louis and up here in the beautiful, cool weather of Northfield, Minnesota, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, stuck here in hot and humid St. Louis, John. That's what happens when you're a working pastor.
That's right.
Anyway, happy for you, John. Good for you. You retired guys escaping to the north. When things heat up, I don't blame you.
Well, I tell you what, if you could have a little sympathy for me, because normally we would have been up here already at the end of May. But as you know, I was back there in St. Louis as they were giving me radiation treatment for my prostate cancer. And if you don't mind, I'd like to get everybody caught up with that. If people are wondering.
Yeah, please do, John. Yeah, I'm sure listeners would appreciate it.
As of when we record, of course, that's the weird radio world we live in, that we record sometimes days, even weeks before we air. But just 2 days ago, I finished my last radiation treatment. Still have a couple of months of hormone therapy, they call it. But yeah, as far as the whole radiation thing, it's over. It's interesting, Matt, and I know this is a tradition amongst cancer treatments, because my father-in-law, Jerry, he was treated for liver cancer. And when you're done with the radiation treatment, you get to ring a bell. I don't know where that tradition comes
from. Oh, yeah,
I've
heard of that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't have my radiation done in like one of the big St. Louis hospitals where they have these really nice school bells that you get to ring. I was in kind of a rural radiation facility, so I had a cowbell.
I had no idea there was this hierarchy of bells when it comes to radiation treatment.
You know, it's okay. And that's not a joke, by the way. Yeah, they gave me a cowbell and I rang it. And here's the thing, though, that I did not realize, that they gave me a certificate, a frameable certificate that I had completed the radiation therapy.
So nice.
Have you ever had any kind of medical procedure where you get a diploma after you're done with the procedure?
You know, I was part of the cavity free club when I was younger at my dentist office. There may have been a certificate attached to that, but no, other than that, John, no certificates, gift cards.
It makes me question all the other things I've had done, because, you know, I had triple heart bypass and I didn't get any certificate for that. So maybe that wasn't really all that it should have been. I had the hiatal hernia surgery again. No one gave me a certificate for that. So it makes you wonder, what did they really do the job they should? Or maybe there was something wrong with me that I didn't get a diploma.
You should have been a better patient, John.
I guess.
If you really want, I can talk to Lynn, and I'm sure she could make a certificate for you if you really want one.
Well, so I think what the deal is, is they give you that diploma to make up for the disappointment you have. Because, see, everything I've ever read in the comic books is if you have radiation, you get superpowers, right? But to this point, I have no laser vision. I can't crawl up the wall like a spider. So maybe that's like a compensation prize, you think?
Yeah, maybe so. Consolation prize, and yeah. You know, you at least X-ray visit at this point, John.
Well, you would think after 45 treatments, you get some kind of superpower.
Yeah.
But anyway, so and by the way, let me say this for those who are undergoing or have undergone a cancer treatment. We don't mean to make light of it. It is an extremely challenging thing. Prostate cancer is probably the easiest of all cancers to treat. So I thank God for that. And I thank God for my doctors, the nurses, and everyone else who went through that. And I am glad that it is done.
Well, John, congratulations to you. And I, you know, I pray that those were effective and, you know, and thanks to our listeners too, because I'm sure there you've been in the prayers of our listeners. And, I really appreciate you giving us an update because I'm sure that they're wondering how things are going. So, you know, so far so good, it sounds like.
Yeah. But see there again, you congratulated me. No one congratulated me when I had a heart attack. Good for you having that triple bypass. So I don't know.
Well done on that account too, John. You're hearing it from me.
Thanks, because I didn't get it. No one gave me a certificate. Yeah. So we want to.
Well, when I had my gallbladder removed, I didn't get a certificate either. If it makes you feel any better,
I feel better. Now. I feel better.
I didn't even get to keep any gallstones, so I don't know.
Is that right? They didn't give you the little.
Nothing left the hospital empty-handed.
So we want to. I want to talk. You know, they say that an old dog can't learn new tricks, but I'm an old dog. And you've taught me any number of tricks. I can sit up, shake hands, fetch. Thanks for that, Matt. But I learned something new, something that I probably misunderstood, and maybe other people have misunderstood. So I thought this would be a good venue to share that new insight. So how about we do that today, Matt?
Sounds good, John. Yeah, and I think you can learn any trick as long as there's bacon involved. As long as there's a bacon treat at the end, I'm guessing, John, you could probably learn it. So.
Absolutely right, Matt. Absolutely right. Except the one where you put it on my nose and I have to hold it. I'm sorry, I never did master that trick. As soon as you put it on my nose, I snatch it up right away, that bacon. So if you would go on to Luke chapter 10, we've been kind of featuring the Gospel of Luke this summer. And if you would read verse 11, Luke chapter 10, verse 11, man.
Sure. So Jesus is talking to the 72 here, and he says, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near."
And I suppose I should have had you read verse 10, too, to understand who it is we're shaking the dust off.
Yeah, we're kind of in the middle of the... Okay, yeah, here's verse 10. "But even whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, okay, go into its streets and say, even the dust of the town of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you."
So we have this pattern here of the disciples being sent out, as you alluded to, the 72, Jesus giving them instructions. And these are the negative instructions. What if they don't receive us, Jesus?
Yeah.
What if they don't welcome us? Well, it is shake the dust off the feet. Matt, and I'm just going to throw it open to you, Matt, because you probably got it right. Okay. So how did you interpret that? What kind of understanding did you give that idea that you shake the dust off your feet?
Yeah. So I as I read this, it sounds to me like a word of law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if they do not receive you, go and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, wipe off against you. Whoa, you know, against you. So to me, you know, this clear message that the gospel comes to them either way, whether they accept it or not, right?
Yeah.
But the gospel's come among them. They've rejected it. And so as a sign, you know, they wipe off the dust of their feet. No, it's a visible thing, right? I think a visible word of law they haven't received it. And this is, a testimony against them.
You know what's interesting, Matt, because I know people will be listening to this as a recording, but for you and me, this is live. I hope people appreciate this, that when we record this, we record it live. We're not recording a recording.
This is raw, yeah.
The reason I say that is because one of the things that God has blessed you with is to study the text and to look at the words. This thing we had a week ago where you had talked about the trampling. They were trampling each other to get to Jesus, which I'd never, ever seen that word before.
Yeah.
And it is one of the joys of doing sermons year in and year out, because you go back, wow, how did I not see that word? Anyway, I'll get to my point. So I checked out this word against, because again, I hadn't really noticed that either. And you're right. Good. That definitely is a negative word. You know what? That's not in the Greek. That's just in the English translation. I was surprised to see that. Yeah, literally in the Greek, it simply says wipe off the feet from them. Or, well, it doesn't even have a word. It just says wipe off from them. And the English, of course, adds the word against, you know. But the word against actually isn't in there. It's just you shake off the dust in front of them. Well, anyway, see, it does sound like a word of law, especially when you read the next verse. Read the next verse, Matt.
Yeah. So the next verse says, I tell you, you bet. I tell you, be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And we remember what happened to Sodom, right, John?
Yes. Hellfire and brimstone.
Yeah.
And see, now again, this is kind of fun because I had not really thought through this completely either. Who does Jesus say, I tell who?
Yeah, I tell, okay, verse 12, I tell you it will be more bearable on that day.
But you notice, see, I hadn't noticed this before either. He doesn't say, you tell that crowd that it'll be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. See, those words are addressed to the disciples in reflection, but that isn't what Jesus says you say to this town that has failed to receive you.
Yeah, those who are sending know it, and you know, I'm sure their hearts probably break as they hear this. But that's the reality. Yeah,
and see just what you just said there, Matt, about their hearts probably break because that's I think I heard this the way the disciples must have heard it, because you remember that they were going into that Samaritan town. We had that story a few weeks ago. Yep. And what happens in that story, Matt?
Well, they're ready. They want fire and brimstone to be poured out on that town, right, John?
Yeah.
You know, they said, Jesus, should fire come out of heaven, right? And, and then obviously Jesus doesn't do that. But they seem eager for that sort of judgment against them.
And what's interesting is in that story, Jesus actually rebukes them. Mm-hmm. He rebukes them. I can't remember if that's the exact word that's used, but it's certainly, I think it is the exact word that's used, because whatever it is a word that says, you guys have got this totally wrong. And in fact, in one of the ancient manuscripts, it literally says, I haven't come to condemn people. I've come to save people. That's what it's all about. And that's what made me begin to think that maybe I've misunderstood this. And now, Matt, there's no getting around it. You're right. It is the law. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's not a law that comes and says, well, your situation is hopeless. You're all going to be condemned to hell. You know, in fact, what is it interesting? So they shake the dust off. So what do you think is the significance of that, Matt, of shaking the dust off your feet?
Yeah, it's very visible, right? Yeah. So as they do that publicly, they do it, in the town, even in its, to go into its streets, it says. So it's like, well, at the house you might be staying at, go into its streets even and do this. So it's very public in that, that this is even, this is not a good thing, right? Even your dust we want off of our feet. This is, I think, a clear message to them. And Jesus says earlier in Luke, he says the same thing as he sends out the 12 apostles. When they don't receive you, leave that town and shake the dust off your feet. And again, it says that's a testimony against them. So I'm kind of curious to go back to chapter 9 even, John, and see, if that's included there in the original text or not.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. And again, it isn't. It isn't in the Greek. The word against isn't in there. It's just a testimony towards them, I guess. I don't know how there's no Greek word there. There's this testimony and them. But again, it's interesting that the word against isn't in there. It isn't in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like we don't even want to be connected to the dust of your town on our feet, is what it's saying to them.
So I'd like the fact you point out it is a public thing. It is not a private thing. It is said to the whole community. But what strikes me is after they shake the dust out of the feet, what are they then supposed to do?
After they even the dust to cleanse our feet we're up against you, and nevertheless know this, that the kingdom of God has come near.
And what is the kingdom of God, Matt? What is that? What is the kingdom of God? What is it that they offered these people?
Yeah, so I mean, they offered them Jesus.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah. Right? You know, so this kingdom, this reign, you know, sometimes we use that word, even in place of kingdom, this reign of God is what Jesus does, right? So it's the message of the gospel, I would say, first and foremost, right? That life-changing, eternal life-giving message of the gospel. And then, you know, the other acts that they do too, you know, as they, you know, Jesus commissions them and they even are able to heal and restore, you know, that's the reign of God too, reversing the effects of sin. They've seen that and yet they've reject the message. Yeah. So the reign of God still has come among them, regardless of whether they accept it or not.
And the healing thing is actually literally mentioned in the text, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So that's to the people that have accepted it. Mm-hmm. But see, that struck me too. So no, we didn't come here to condemn you. That's not why we're here. We came because we wanted to bring you this grace and mercy of God, which shows itself even in this world to honor people like me who get healed of cancer. There's no reason why there should have been a reason and ability to treat my prostate cancer. I should have just died from that. And indeed, I probably will die from something, if not heart disease and cancer, because I am a sinner. But see, I think that's the thing. You say to the people, look, my intention was always for your blessing. My intention was always that you would know the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And that hasn't changed. But since you're not willing to listen to that, I don't really have any other choice than to shake the dust off my feet and go someplace else, because there will be people who will receive that message and who will welcome that message. But I don't think there's any finality. I guess to me, that was my misunderstanding, that this was kind of a final thing. Well, we're done with you and you're all going to go to hell. But it's no like, well, we've offered this to you. If it doesn't strike you at this point, well, maybe it will in the future. I don't know. What do you think about that, Matt?
Well, yeah, I think you're right, John. And, you know, it's not like these people are condemned to hell, right? You know, that, it's not good that they've rejected the gospel and the kingdom. No, that's not good at all, right? But, you know, as long as they have life and breath, you know, it's not too late for them to hear the gospel and have it and believe. But they're not beyond the power of the Holy Spirit. And I see what you think about this. I kind of, maybe we can liken this to excommunication in the church. You know, excommunication is this authority that the church has and a word of law, right? Where if someone is stuck, especially if there's a sin that's just unrepented of and, you know, just this unwillingness to hear a word of law or even maybe the word of gospel, and the church can excommunicate someone, and that is a word of law as well. You know, they may be excluded then from, you know, the Lord's Supper, for instance. But what's the purpose of excommunication? Well, the purpose is that they would repent and that they would believe. So I think when you hear excommunication, we think that exactly what you said, John, that, oh, they're beyond hope now. We've shaken the dust off of our feet. They're excommunicated. But that excommunication is done with the hope, with the prayer that person would repent and that they would believe. And then to welcome them back with open arms into Christian community, into the life of the church, to the Lord's altar and the Lord's Supper, that's the hope. That's the purpose. And though, so I wonder, you know, if we could make that parallel between this and what the church even does still today.
So I would agree with you partially. Well, because the point you're making is, you're right. We don't excommunicate people because we want to send them to hell. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We excommunicate people because they're doing something that is public and that they have been called to repentance. And yet they refuse to repent. You know, the sins that you get excommunicated for are very few, because they're primarily public things that everyone looks at and says, oh my gosh, who could do that and still call themselves a Christian? And yet the person continues to do them and shows no sign of repentance. And certainly your point is well made, because that's what Paul deals with in the Corinthian church. That I want to talk more about the Corinthians in just a moment. But yeah, so they had excommunicated a person, and the person did repent, right? And he quit sin, and yet they still didn't let them in, yeah. Let him come back into the church. And Paul says, no, just what you said. That's the point. We wanted this. We wanted the repentance. Now we need to tell him that he's loved and forgiven by God. However, I don't know that that's the exact situation here, because it doesn't say that they rejected their teaching. They just didn't receive them. So I almost get the impression was that they, you itinerant preachers, we get you guys coming through here all the time, right? And where you're trying to sell us dictionaries or something. I know there's got to be a catch to it. So we're not even really interested in listening, because we do that, right? You got somebody coming knocking on your door, the Jehovah's Witness knock on my door, and I don't reject them. In fact, if they're unlucky enough, I might start teaching them Lutheranism.
Well, might as well, John. They're coming to you.
Well, they came and they said, "Would you like a copy of the Watchtower?" Sure, I'd love that. Hey, would you like a copy of Luther's Small Catechism? We'll trade you. We'll trade.
Why not? Well, yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point. You know, I think there's a parallel here, but I don't think it's, you know, a one-to-one, you know, comparison, right? It's not exactly the same. And I think one of the things, you know, the differences too is excommunication. That's done among someone who is a Christian, right? Or at least says they're a Christian, yeah. Right? Yeah. They should know better than this, right? This sin that they're persistent in or refuse to repent of. You know, these towns they're going to, they're not Christians already, right? These are people that are hearing about Jesus for the first time, and yet, you know, they're not receiving that message. So, yeah, I think that's another difference between those two things too.
Matt, I think you hit it on the head right there. So excommunication is for those people who are already believers. And like you say, these are people that don't have any faith. And for whatever reason, they have refused to listen to the message. And again, we don't want to lessen that, because the danger is that could lead to total damnation. However, this is the other thought I had. I think the reason that Jesus brings up it being more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. I don't think that, well, as I said, he doesn't say you say that to the crowd, okay? But he does say it to his disciples, so that the disciples would realize how important it is that they come back to this town, okay? Just because they didn't receive him on that time, yeah, well, we shake the dust off. But you know what? We really, really do want to talk to you about the kingdom, about a God who loves you enough to suffer and die for you so that you can have forgiveness. And I think the cool thing about referencing Sodom is, you remember what Abraham did for Sodom, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm, yeah, interceded for it.
Yeah, prayed for them. How easy it would have been for Abraham to say, oh, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. That is one terrible place. Yeah, I can see where you'd want to destroy that yacht. But instead, he prays repeatedly for what I can't remember what the, was it 50 righteous? I know at the end, he says, God, if there's even just 10 righteous in that city, will you spare it? So he prays fervently. And I think that's the point of the disciples. If someone doesn't listen to you, then you better pray for them, just like Abraham prayed for Sodom. Because the consequences are very, very serious. But the love of God for those people is just as serious. So do you have any other thoughts about that, Matt?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I see that too in the epistles, right? You know, we're reading through the epistles here at Ascension. We have a little reading plan for this year. And we just got through 1 Thessalonians. And in there, you know, Paul talks about longing to come back to them. And it's just this continual care for them. And he knows that they're under pressure. He knows there's persecution there in that city. And so he wants to come back to them in order to strengthen them in the faith, in order to encourage them and share the gospel all the more. And I think, you know, you make a good point that, you know, for these 72 and for Jesus' disciples, for them to perhaps return to these cities so that they would continue to hear, so they would repent and believe.
And so that is the biblical a thing that you can point to the returning again, because we talked about this, that very Samaritan village that rejected the disciples and Jesus. And of course, the disciples totally misunderstanding the words of Jesus, wanted to bring hellfire upon them. But in the end, the disciples go back to that Samaritan village. That's recorded in the book of Acts. We referenced the Corinthians. And again, I think that's really interesting because the Corinthians really didn't accept Jesus. They didn't accept Jesus because that was the message that Paul brought them, you know. And they had a lot of trouble with that too. And they began to criticize Paul that you really don't care about us. You said you were coming back, but you didn't come back. But there's this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul says, because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. Okay? So even if the first experience of grace didn't quite accomplish everything that I hoped it accomplished, well, then I think I just need to come back and give you a second experience of grace. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. If someone rejects us, it's no use arguing with, fighting with them. That probably doesn't accomplish anything. So it probably is just as well. Shake the dust off your feet. Be sure that people are saying, hey, I'm not doing this because I don't care for you. In fact, I came here because I do care for you. But obviously at this point, you know, what I'm sharing, it doesn't seem to be of interest to you. But you know what? If you ever need any help, I'm here. Be sure and contact me. Let me know. Because that second experience of grace, and if you think about it, Matt, we all need a second and third and fourth and who knows how many experiences of grace. And of course, that's the beauty of being the Christian, is we know we get that every time we go to church. That experience of grace is always there for us, even though maybe in our thoughts, maybe in our actions, we have kind of rejected some of the kingdom of God that God has given us.
Yeah, definitely, John. And I think, you know, too, of just, you know, other examples of scripture, just the all of Paul's missionary journeys and to come back to some of those towns and places, right? And to continually share the gospel with them. Jerusalem itself, you know, and every, you know, the controversies there in the early church, and yet, you know, to still care for the people there and even take a collection up for the people there. And yeah, you know, I think that's so important for our listeners and for me too, is when we have family members and others who may have strayed away from the faith or maybe have never been in the church, don't give up on them. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't give up on them, and neither should we.
So I think that's exactly the point, and I hope our listeners will take that. Do not despair if people do not receive you. You don't need to get into an argument or fight with them, but just make sure that they understand that you love and you care for them and that they always have the opportunity for experiencing the gospel, as indeed we all do, thanks to the grace and mercy and the steadfast love of what we have in Jesus Christ. Well, again, we thank our listeners for listening to us, and we would let them know that we would always extend them the experience of grace. That's what Wrestling with the Basic is all about. It's about the love of God and Jesus Christ.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.